Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since the hurricane. And you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I welcome back Nicola, the specialist psychiatric nurse, solution-focused hypnotherapist, and mindset coach. We'll be discussing BrainWorks Therapy, the services she provides as a solution-focused hypnotherapy service. Nicola, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you for having me back. I am really well, thank you.
Good, good. We're glad you could come back. Nicola, give us a bit of a reminder about BrainWorks and, you know, the therapy work that you do.
Okay, so I'm Nicola Noel, but anybody who hasn't heard the last interview, and I own a business called BrainWorks Therapy, which is an online mental health or private mental health clinic. And I essentially help professional women rewire their brain, change their mindset, help them manage their emotions and feel more confident and resilient through therapy and coaching. And the main modality that I use is solution-focused hypnotherapy. I use other skills as well, so some CBT skills or cognitive behavioural therapy skills, dialectical behaviour therapy skills, and also neuro-linguistic programming. And then another side to it is doing guest and keynote speaking for corporate events and small groups and helping them change their mindset and feel more empowered.
It keeps you busy, doesn't it?
Too busy. Although, can you be too busy?
That's true. That's true. What inspired you to launch BrainWorks Therapy, and how has the journey been establishing an online private mental health clinic?
So what inspired me to launch BrainWorks Therapy was actually COVID. So at the time of COVID, I was working in prisons and I was seeing how people were becoming displaced. So I would see people from all over the country end up in the prison that I was working at. So they'd be really far from home. But because everywhere was shut down, no services were available and things were getting, you know, when I say up and running, I use that really loosely. But essentially, what would take, as you know yourself from being in social care, what would make it take a few phone calls or maybe jump on a system was not available to us. So it would be like people were dropping out of the sky. And we're ending up in prison and we're poorly. And then it got me thinking, with all these services that are like, you know, GPs, and I'll, you know, say it again, and there'll be some GP out there ready to lynch me, but GPs literally shut up shop and close the doors overnight, like rapid overnight. Like you couldn't get in contact with anybody. They had shut down. And so what services or what help was available to people? And then I was like, well, actually, it would be online because people need help in their houses and you can't walk into their house anymore. And if you did, you were like 2 metres away because COVID knew what 2 metres was. So, you know, that's what inspired me to do it. And then to start looking at effective ways, because actually, you don't need for me to be in a room with you for me to deliver effective therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's online now, isn't it? Majority of the things.
Yeah. And we're in a generation where most people will do things online. And you know, one of the things that I wanted to do was take my message and my work worldwide. And the easiest way to do that was going online. I now have clients like in Dubai, clients in America.
How do you integrate your skills as a specialist psychiatric nurse with your work as a solution-focused hypnotherapist and mind coach?
It's all to do with assessment, isn't it? So through 20 years of nursing and doing specialist nursing, you learn how to do assessments of people inside out, and that pays dividends when you're working online, when you're managing risk, when you're potentially managing risky patients. And so ordinarily, when you're doing therapy, you shouldn't be having risky patients, because they should be to like the low, just about moderate level. But sometimes you get really complex patients, or complex clients, I should say. And the background that I've come from, where I'm dealing with complex people, high risk people, it enables me to navigate easier. So it might be somebody who comes to me for anxiety, but they have an alcohol problem along with anxiety, along with depression. So they have some comorbidities there already. And then I help work with them. So there's nothing that really, I should say, phases me.
Brilliant. In your experience, what are the key benefits of solution-focused hypnotherapy in addressing issues like anxiety, depression, or stress?
Clinically, it's a lot more effective. It's a lot softer in the sense of, so I would say it's akin to EMDR, which is the eye movement reprocessing therapy. And the way that solution-focused hypnotherapy works, it's not concentrating on the problem. So typically in should we say older therapies or older modalities like cognitive behavioural therapy, or when we talk about counselling, clients often leave feeling worse because all they're doing is talking about the problem. They're talking about the problem, and when you talk about the problem, the brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. So you're experiencing all those things again. You're experiencing all those neurotransmitters again, all those hormones again, that same chemical response within your body, along with emotionally. However, with solution-focused hypnotherapy, what we're doing is we're forward-focusing. So we're treating the client as their own true North Star. You know what's best for you. You know your strengths, even if you might not feel like you do. You know what you're good at. So let's look at what you're good at. Let's look at your strengths. Let's amplify that. I'm asking you to repeat your brilliance. I'm not asking you to repeat your mistakes. And let's look at what your preferred future wants to look like, or what you think it looks like. And let's help you step into that.
Which one between anxiety, depression, and stress can be more challenging to support with?
I don't think anyone's more challenging than the other. They all come with their difficulties. They all come with their extreme challenges. It just depends what accompanies that, because they never ever come on their own. So you'll always find somebody who might say, somebody who's stressed, there might be underlying anxiety, there might be underlying, you know, substance, there might be an underlying actual diagnosis that's exacerbating that. So they will all come with challenges. It's how you deal with the complexities and the challenges.
Do you also work with people that have maybe drug-induced, therefore causing anxiety and stress and depression?
So somebody who's had a history of drug-induced, I could work with them. But somebody at the time who potentially was psychotic, then that's not for you know, my services. But as in, well, you know, working as a nurse, and yeah, I would work with people who had, you know, drug-induced psychosis or maybe going through a psychotic episode, but to manage them in the community, that wouldn't be my job. So if they had a history but was coming to me and they were settled,
that's what I mean,
and they were well medicated, we could work together, and I would be able to navigate that. And obviously, if I felt that they were potentially relapsing or becoming unwell, then I would be signposting them and referring them back into the services they need to go back into to get that acute treatment. And then after that would be something different.
Do your clients talk to you about the source of the anxiety, the depression, or the stress?
So that's where it works differently, because we're not focused in sleep focusing therapy, we call it the polar bear. So I'm not focusing on the polar bear. So you'll get someone who comes to you say, do you know, I'm anxious or I'm depressed and it's because of this, that, and the other. And I'll always say to them, I'm telling you now, before we even start, the reason why you've come to me is not the reason why you've come to me. It's a polar bear. It's something to focus on. So it'd be like, oh, you know, my husband's awful and I want to divorce him and that's the root of my problems. And it'll be like, that's not the root of your problems. The root of your problems are your lack of boundaries. And your lack of boundaries is because your lack of confidence. And your lack of confidence is probably comes from like some sort of childhood trauma that you've had or where that you've been taught to be. So therefore, yeah, you've got your husband running a mockery over you because you've had a lack of boundaries and he's not the problem, you're the problem. And I always use the Scooby-Doo analogy and people like sometimes look at me as if to say, oh my God, you are harsh. But if you think about like Scooby-Doo, you know, when they catch the villain, yeah, and they're like, who's under the mask? And then you lift the mask up and it's like, it's you, you're the villain. You're the one who's letting people run amok. You are the villain. So, you know, one thing about solution-focused hypnotherapy and one thing I do within my clinic is it's not a passive process. So if I get a client that comes to me and they're like, my life's so awful, everything's bad's happening to me, I'm like, you leave that at the door because you're going to have to pick it up and take responsibility. Bad things happen to good people all the time. It's about the decisions that you make. And there is no wrong decision. And the reason why I say this is if you make a decision that doesn't quite work out, most of the time, 99% of the time, you can always pivot out of that. You can always change.
It sounds like the work you do with people, it also helps the person develop as well in themselves, isn't it?
Yeah. So my job is essentially to give you the tools so I never see you again unless something bad happens. So unlike conventional counselling or therapy where, you know, they've seen somebody from 97,000 weeks, unless you've got chronic anxiety or chronic depression, and in my time of being in clinic, I've only ever had that twice out of all the people that I've treated, I'll see you no more than 12 sessions. So between 6 to 12 sessions, it takes somebody to see actual results, like tangible changes and long-lasting results to the point where I will never see them again. And so I've had one client especially who I remember. So he came to me a couple of days before Christmas, was heavily suicidal, and his aim was, he said, all I want to do is make it to Christmas. And I was like, okay, we'll get you to Christmas. And so we did. And so we probably did the 12 weeks like consecutively. And then we went to, I'll see you once every 2 weeks. And then did that for a couple of weeks, probably about a month. Then I saw him once a month. And did that for a couple of months. And then he was gone and he's never returned. So before coming to me, he'd had therapies before, had to come back to me. And he wrote a review not so long ago. And he said to me, and the things that in the review was so sweet. And he essentially said, you've given me all the tools that I need to continue and live my life. And I'll never look back.
That's fantastic, isn't it? To get that kind of feedback as well.
And that's what it's there for. My job is to give you the tools, to put in your toolbox, so you've got them to use them. It's not so you have to keep coming back to me and having sessions with me. Like, you can have top-up sessions, obviously, but the essential bulk of the work is done and you move on and you get on with your life.
Mm, absolutely.
And that's what the therapy is about.
We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nicola, you focus heavily on empowering clients to reprogram their brain. Can you explain how neuroplasticity plays a role in your therapeutic approach? I don't even know if I said that properly. Neuroplasticity. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So neuroplasticity, how does that work? So with solution-focused hypnotherapy, it's what is in the tin. So it's part solution-focused breath therapy, and then the hypnosis side, hypnotherapy. So hypnosis is what we would know as trance. So it's just a deeply relaxed state. No clucking like chickens. I don't have control over you. How we would experience that in day-to-day life is if you got in the car, and I'm sure it's happened, and you've gone to go somewhere. So you've got in the car, and the next thing you remember, like, you're just at your destination. And you're like, how did I even get here? That's trance. So it's something that we do every day, and it's when our brain is dumping. So it's like our brain's natural sewage system, like clearing out all the clutter. The therapy side is the talking side. So when we go into trance, or what we know as the hypnosis, what happens is the primitive mind, or what we know as the subconscious and the conscious mind, will come together and they focus on the one goal. And that means that you start building stronger and more fibrous neural pathways. So if we think about a bookshelf with boxes on, neuroplasticity is the fact that all the boxes are in the correct place on the correct shelf with the correct files in, and we're able to go along to that bookshelf, find the correct box, find the correct file, withdraw that information, look at it, process it, and put it back in the right place, and recall it and use it as we want to. And also take on new information and store it a lot quicker. So that bookshelf has space to put a new box on with new files.
Do you provide your clients with any like literature at all, or anything like that they can use in the future?
Yeah, so I make my own PDFs as well. And I'll also, one of the things I'm really big on is giving them a reading list of books they can read, depending on why they come to me, and also podcasts. I'm a big, advocate of podcasts as well. Things that are catalysts for mentally healthy behaviour and to keep them well. And we also do what I call butterfly tapping, and I do breathing with them as well, because that's paramount to get them into the parasympathetic system that keeps them calm, that helps them feel safe.
Brilliant. With your own extensive background in mental health, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing mental health care today, particularly in the UK?
Well, apart from government and the budget.
Yeah, that goes without saying, isn't it?
The biggest challenge has to be social media. The availability of information. So if we think about back in the day, even before you and I were born, if we wanted to find out what was happening in another country or somewhere else in this country or in the world, we would have to wait for a relative to bring news, a pigeon to bring something in, a letter to arrive. But now, within seconds, you can find out some atrocity that's happening on the other side of the world, in the darkest, deepest cave, because of a phone. So it's now we have instant access to trauma. Just see what I mean? Like, all the stuff that was happening or still happening in Gaza, and you can, but it's on loop, it's on repeat. So imagine seeing that trauma every single day. Like, I don't watch the news now. Like, I can't. And if I hear it, I'm just like, oh my God, like, turn it off. Because, not because I want to be ignorant to what's going on in the world, but the one, so I got into a taxi the other day, news came on. First five things were all murders.
Terrible, isn't it?
And so how is that going to make you feel? Because quite rightly, you're not going to feel safe. Quite rightly. Like, nobody should be out there, like, skipping through the road and thinking nobody's going to, like, run them over or anything like that. And we're not in la-la land. But equally, I shouldn't be set to high alert the moment I leave my house. But that's what social media is doing, isn't it? It's giving people eating disorders. It's giving our kids mental health problems that we know. What did we, like, literally, what did we know about that as kids? I can honestly say mental health, like, back in the 80s, what are you talking about? I was out there with my cornrows and my Barbie playing Knockdown Ginger and Kirby, living my best life.
We're out and about, isn't it?
Who, like, out and, like, I was out with my picky head and it was, do you know what I mean? Like, just, like, my biggest, like, first world problem was, have I got, like, 10 pence for a chalk ice? Mm-hmm. Or a 10 pence, like, you know, penny sweets? Like, let's get the penny sweets and make sure you get the one that's got the one big sweet in it and let's do it. Not a mobile phone. Like, I did not have a mobile phone until I was 18.
Yeah, same, yeah.
Did not have an email address until I was 19. And now, these kids have got access to things. Like, you can watch a two-year-old use a tablet.
It's quite unbelievable, isn't it?
Like,
it's too much, absolutely. And also with social media, there can be a lot of, as well as the news, there's a lot of negativity, isn't it? And it kind of, it feeds into your subconsciousness.
Yes. It's like poison. It's like poison. If you look at other countries in the world, there are certain countries in the world that heavily, heavily protect what goes through their social media platforms.
Yeah, yeah.
That protect what goes through TikTok, that protects, well, say countries, country. And then if people are smart, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But they protect what, if you look at their TikTok compared to our TikTok, it is not the same thing. If you look at their Instagram compared to our Instagram, it is not the same thing. You could be literally in a different universe. But yet in the Western world, everything's up for grabs, including your mental health. People or the younger generation will think that likes are important, living their whole life through social media. And like, social media is a good way of earning money, but living their life. And so we laugh, like, I'm terrible for it. I love a bit of Big Brother. I love a bit of reality TV. But here's the difference. I grew up doing dumb stuff, when there wasn't social media. Now the problem that people are having when they go on reality TV and they're younger is that there's a digital footprint. So people are finding your granddad's shoe size. All the nonsense that you did, maybe all the opinions that you had that weren't so well-formed, that were kind of ignorant, are all there for everybody to see now because they are living their life through social media.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I stopped watching news about 2-3 years ago and better for it because it was so negative. It was just, I just thought, you know what, I've got to put a lid on this now. You know, sometimes you might see the news come up indirectly. Do you know what I mean? If you're on the train, you see a newspaper or you might see something just come up on social media randomly or on TV randomly, but not intentionally putting on the news. Obviously, you might want to read about certain things which you can search for specifically, but just around the crime and, you know, everything that's going on, it just, it sets you in, it's not a good start to the day, isn't it?
It resets the tone, and we have to stand guard at the gate of our mind, and that's not taught enough. And what we let in can affect it, can seep in, does seep in like poison. And there's no other way to put it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. It can be like poison, literally. Yeah. Given the rise in mental health concerns since the pandemic, how has BrainWorks therapy adapted to meet the growing demand for online therapy?
Adapting would be making yourself more visible. So the reason why I say this is because people are now using platforms like TikTok, like Instagram, even Facebook, to search like Yellow Pages. So long gone are like Yelp and all the rest of it and you know, Yellow Pages. People are literally tapping in, how do I, you know, have I got anxiety, like using the platforms like that. So adapting to being online is being more visible and literally having to then adapt posts and content so that when somebody types in that, that you show up and you show up with the correct information. Because we live in a world of misinformation, so everybody's an expert. The amount of people that have come into my inbox and said to me, I'm a wellness expert. You sell forever living, stop it. You have not spent 20 years training to be a nurse or, you know, or being a nurse. You haven't got the qualifications. But now, because you sell a bit of be, you know, forever living, be whatever, now you're suddenly, we're akin. We're wellness experts now. Together, you and I are wellness experts. No, we're not. No, we're absolutely not. How dare you?
Absolutely, yeah.
And so we now have a responsibility as experts, the real experts, to make sure, and we have a duty of care, to make sure we're seen, to make sure we're taking up space, to make sure we are talking, to make sure we are putting factual and correct evidence out there for people to find.
Absolutely. Do you find almost like you're having to correct basically what some people might be saying or what your clients might be coming to you about that someone else told them or whatever it might be?
The most amount of nonsense. And you know, you can't blame people to a certain degree. Because again, we've got a generation who, if it's on social, it's real. If it can't be doctored, can't be tampered with, can't be AI, it has, you know, that opinion's real because Tommy288 behind his screen, the little keyboard warrior, has said it. So that is a real opinion. How's that opinion been formed? What did you know? Tommy might have opinions of people in government. Does Tommy know their manifestos? Does Tommy know their policies? No. But because his mate down the pub's told him, it's gospel, like 100% gospel. That's what we're dealing with. And that's what we're having to go in and make sure that we become an authority in the space, a bit like yourself, with having, you know, guests like myself on and everything, like putting verified information out there, not opinion.
Absolutely. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Nicola, thank you for that information that you're giving us about what you do and how you help your clients. Many people struggle with changing long-standing negative habits or thought patterns. How do you help your clients break free from these cycles?
First of all, it's breaking it down, and then it's getting to the root of the problem. But the very, very, very first step is knowing and believing that they can. Because like we said before, the brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. So if you think you can't, you can't. If you think you can, you can. So first and foremost, it's acknowledging and believing that you can. And then it's looking at where is this almost hook? Where's this hook that we can unhook? And where's this negative belief coming from? Why are you holding on to this? Because whether a behaviour be positive or whether a behaviour be negative, it's serving us in some way. And it's how it's serving us. So we've been talking about social media. So let's use showing up on social media, for instance. Is not showing up on social media serving you because you're in your primitive part of the brain and you don't believe that you should be seen? You don't believe that your story needs to be heard or the information that you've got needs to be heard. So it's serving you, but just not in a good way. So is that, you know, you not seeing your friends, you not seeing family, you not being able to go out and do things, or how is this serving you? If it's serving you in a good way, then that's fine. But normally it's impacting their life in a negative way.
How do you balance the scientific aspects of psychiatric nursing with the more holistic, solution-focused techniques of hypnotherapy and mindset coaching?
It works really well, and they go hand in hand, because you say you've got the scientific part of being able to recognise signs and symptoms of certain diagnoses, shall we say. I don't diagnose, but you can like recognize that. And then when you bring it in to solution focused hypnotherapy, you're able to give an explanation, say, well, that's why you're experiencing X, Y, and Z, and this is how this can help you, and this is what we're going to do, and these are the tools that I'm going to give you, and you know, you're going to learn about them. I'm going to teach you how to use them when it's appropriate for you to be able to go out and use that. And it holistically comes together because we look at the whole client, not just aspects. And we don't, unlike, not that you should do nursing, we don't, but, you know, we're not focusing on the diagnosis. We're looking at the symptoms and how we can solve those symptoms.
Do you also look at the person's care network or the other people that the people know?
Yeah, because that's a big, we work better as a tribe than alone. And having a tribe is a catalyst for mentally healthy behaviour. So the release of dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins. And you only get that from interacting with people, for having... So we say the positive principles, so it's the three P's. So it's positive interaction, positive action, and positive thoughts. And your tribe, whether that be family, friends, people at the gym, people you go walking with, people you do sport with, they are the catalyst for that.
Do you also talk about exercise with the person as well at all?
Exercise is one of the best ways for a lot of, say, mental illness, mental wellness is the best way to maintain mental wellness. One of the best ways. I mean, sometimes, you know, there are times when we need medication and other things to help with that. However, one of, hands down, that will knock out a lot of the stuff is exercise, because of the chemicals, the neurotransmitters you get from doing it, what it will do for your body. So lower your, you know, blood pressure, your risk of heart disease, lower your anxiety, your risk of depression, risk of relapse in actual secondary, seriously diagnosed things like schizophrenia, bipolar, the way it can regulate your nervous system and regulate your mental health. And then if we just take it to the physical side and we look at, say, a woman who is perimenopausal or menopausal, if she lifts weights just 2 to 3 times a week, it lowers her rate of heart disease, it lowers her rates of having a stroke, it lowers her rates of cardiovascular disease, it slows down the loss of bone density, can even in some cases help increase their bone, the bone density, lowers, you know, the risk of osteoporosis, of arthritis, all from doing exercise.
That's unbelievable, the amount of benefits it has, isn't it? What does a mindset shift mean to you, and how do you guide clients through this transformation in their mental health journey?
So mindset shift for me is, or what it means to me, is when I see the client's perception shift. And their perception is also their reality. So their reality will shift into what they think they can't do or what they're not worthy of, into what they can do, what they're worthy of. So I always say, and people sometimes get this confused, you know, between arrogance and confidence. So confidence is saying, I know what skills I bring, I know I'm valuable, I know that I'm knowledgeable, I know what I bring to the table. Arrogance is, I am better than you and I know more than you. So when my clients have a shift of mindset, what we see is the confidence. We see them knowing their worth. We see them knowing what skills they bring, knowing what they bring to the table, just knowing their value.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you enhance as well those skills to help them form that for the future, to help themselves, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's creating their nest. They're feathering their nest. So they know that no matter what happens, they're going to be okay. I would say to them, it's not the absence of, it's working through. So normally when a client comes to me with the anxiety, depression, whether they've got some sort of phobia or whatever's happening, they always want the absence of. And I say, never look for the absence of, look to work through, because that's what builds resilience. That's what builds the confidence. So if we look at something like grief, we're never going to stop missing that person. We're never going to hear a song that reminds us and never get that heart pang. But what happens is the waves get smaller, they get less frequent, and we learn how to deal with it. We get better at learning how to deal with it. And that's the joy of it. It's about working through. You learn how to walk through it. And at times it will be less and it will happen less frequently.
Your clients, do you find that they need that bit in the beginning for you to explain to them, like, look, this is about you helping yourself and moving forward? Because it sounds like in the beginning there's a real discussion about how this works kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%. And if, I'll be totally honest, if that's not where they are, then we're not working together, because I am not responsible for your success. Even when, you know, I get, and I have massive success stories, I'm not, I done that. No, I didn't do that. I helped guide them. But they did it. You are responsible for your own success. You are responsible for your own achievements. So stand up. Let's get to work. because it's not going to be easy. Nothing worth having is easy. So it's not you come and I tell you and you're like, oh, you solved all my problems. No, back to Scooby-Doo, you will solve all your problems and you will also be the mastermind behind all your problems as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make a choice. Do you want to cry into champagne or do you want to cry into Lambrini? Which one is it? Well, let's go.
Nicola, thanks for coming back on the show again. Really appreciate it. Can you just let our listeners know where they can find you and information about your services and that kind of thing?
So apart from the links, which will be with this lovely episode, you can find me on Instagram, Brainwork Therapy. You can find me on LinkedIn as Nicola Noel, as in Christmas, N-O-E-L. And you can find me on Facebook as Brainwork Therapy.
Brilliant. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.